healthy and the sick, with the worker and the weak.
Let us go to God's house.
Enter into Jerusalem.
Let us go to God's house.
Come and run with the wind, with the God who reigns in peace.
Let us go to God's house.
Go down there.
Enter into Jerusalem.
Make we walk go down there.
We're swaying to the breeze with the God who reigns in peace.
Make we walk go down there.
We go celebrate.
Welcome, everybody. Good morning. My name is Katharina Vidi.
And my name is Barbara Campbell.
And this is Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air. We're so excited and happy to be here with you today. Thank you for tuning in. And we just want to tell you that we love you and we love Jesus. And we hope that you are just grow closer to the Lord through this show. And we have such amazing guests today. We have Carol Rubano, her friend Marge, and Father Tony here, who leads just such an extraordinary healing ministry. He's from Nigeria, and he truly is very anointed by God and just filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's just such a treat to have him here today and sharing with us. And so if you would like to call in today or text in anything, our call-in number is 631-888-8811, and our text-in number is 516-784-6081. We'd love to hear from you. So let's start, Barbara.
Okay, great.
I'll take it over.
Just, yep. Just a reminder Pass that this is your station. This is your Long Island station. We're it. So we're the gig out there. So make it yours. You know, we want to hear your stories. We want you to come and give us time here. You know, be on the show. Talk about what the Lord is doing in your life. The main purpose that we have on our hearts, that the Lord's put on our heart, is for you to really, for all of us really, to know the love of God. And I think that we spend so much time often in Christian life trying to love God. We're just always trying so hard to love God. And we forget that we need to receive His love from us. And that's really the hardest part, right? To allow Him to love us.
Yeah, actually, you know, it was so funny. I was just thinking about that the other night before going to bed. I was like wrestling in my head. I was like, what is this all about? And it was really funny. I just kind of got an image of like God or like a person just kind of having their arms open and us going in for the hug. So that wow. person wants to hug us, but we have to go and like receive that hug and hug the person back. Mm-hmm, and it's such mm-hmm. a very interesting thing because usually in life it's kind of silly to think about it. Nobody holds their arms to ask them to hug you. It's just kind of like a mutual thing. Right. But that image really helped me because you know, God wants to hug us and just fill us with His love, and that's like a very simple image I got.
And it's a hard challenge to mm-hmm. allow the Lord to love us and to receive His love and really go beyond receiving to embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But today we're talking about some tools that the Lord has given us in the practical world to end in the supernatural world to help us embrace that love that He has for us. And Father Tony will be talking about healing, and Carol will be talking about healing in a different realm. But Living Waters is all about therapy and counseling and really calling out the best in each one of us and allowing us to experience the things in ourselves that God is touching and that God is loving us into existence. So with that, I'd like to ask Carol to share some stuff about that.
Oh, thanks, Barbara. It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you for asking us. My friend Marge and I are companions as we go toward the Lord. But I wanted to talk about today what Barbara had alluded to, the living in both worlds simultaneously, living in the human world with the flesh and living in the spirit world, trying to get closer to God. And that's a hard line, and there's a lot of tension between the two worlds, believe it or not, because to be human is one thing and to be spirit is another thing. And a lot of times, our humanity, our nature, blocks us from our spirituality, blocks us. And that's why Living Waters Counseling Center is so vital, because it helps people peel away some of that nature so that the spiritual piece can really take hold. And Lord talked about that dichotomy of living in the spirit and living in the body. And He gave us some scriptures on it, and Marge is going to read a couple of them for you.
Sure. Marge, before you do that, can you tell us a little about yourself? Because I didn't get to really introduce you formally.
Well, I recently retired. I was a registered nurse for 45 years. And when I graduated, I was 21 and had not really, I was raised Catholic, in college you stop going, you know, the world says, you don't need that, you need money and this and that. And I'm making money and I bought a new car and all the things that the world said was going to be, make me happy, and I wasn't. And I saw all this pain and suffering. So little by little I was drawn back to what really does fulfill you, and that's the church and the Lord and the Eucharist and adoration and the rosary. You know, I remember my grandmother, she said the rosary faithfully every single day, and that was my first little step. I said, well, okay, for Lent I'm going to say a decade, you know. And like I said, that was 45 years later. I mean, I was able to minister to my patients much better. But through the years, you know, you have conflicts, you have roadblocks, and that's where Living Waters was able to help me so beautifully. in understanding my humanity and not getting caught up in it and not thinking, oh, I'm a failure, I can't do this, you know, this is, but showing me the loving God and the loving God that lives within me.
So I'm kind of fascinated. You felt like a failure even though you were nursing and successful.
Yeah, because you have the pull of the world out there saying, oh, you're not making enough money. What are you doing this? Why don't you do this? And, you know, all those, when you're really ministering to people from your heart, the devil doesn't want us to succeed in that. You know, the world, you know, has so many, between the television and, oh, you're not pretty enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not wearing the right clothes. You know, you see doctors making money or just your patients. And then you're ministering to people from your heart. It really takes a lot out of you because illness is a great equalizer. And you really, ministering to people at the most broken part of their being. And if you're not able to give them your spirit, the Lord's spirit, you're not really going to heal them. And that's what Living Waters has done for me. It addresses body, mind, and spirit. So, you know, lots of times in other venues for counseling, they're not addressing your spirit. So it doesn't always work out. You fall into that trap again of, you know, feeling unworthy. And that's where the devil wants to keep you, because then he's won.
Mm-hmm. He shuts you down.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any particular moments of supernatural healing that you happen to witness as a nurse?
I remember laying in my bed one day, just was very, very tired, and I just said, this is it. Are you real? Are you not real? I can't take this anymore. And he just appeared at the foot of my bed.
In reality?
In reality.
Whoa.
It was just beautiful. It was very, very powerful.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, it was. And I was like,
that's pretty cool.
Okay. I believe you.
I believe you.
What did the Lord look like? I have to ask you.
It was just a beautiful light. Just beautiful light, like the Sacred Heart. You know, very much like the peace that which have Jesus,
the divine mercy image.
Did you
divine
see
mercy
his, like,
image.
Form, or was it like a skin?
It was just a powerful light. Yeah.
And you knew it was the Lord.
And I knew. Yeah, I knew. Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Did that change everything?
It did. It just got me stronger in my belief that this is really the way to go. And then, you know, for so many people, you have that belief. But like I said, you know, like when Peter was walking on the water, you know, when he stopped focusing on the Lord, he was sinking. So,
I love
unfortunately,
that
we have mm-hmm. that, you know, we have that, and we just have to keep focusing on him. I was, you know, believing I was following the Lord one time, and I started screaming at him because I didn't have any money. I was a visiting nurse at the time. I've done many different things in my nursing. And I didn't have any money to put gas in my car to get to work the next day. And I was like screaming at the Lord, you know, I really thought I was following you. What are you doing? What's going on? And I'm driving erratically on a street I was not familiar with. And all of a sudden I see this crumpled up green thing in the middle of the street. I stopped the car. I felt the Lord saying, you know, stop the car, get out. And I go in the street, open up the screen thing, and it was a $10 bill. Ooh. And it was enough to put the gas in my car to get to work the next day. I mean, and that's how he works sometimes, yeah, mm-hmm. you know. Just he gives you, you know, like he told them, go out two by two, you know. Don't worry about where you're going to go, what you're going to eat. Sometimes he cuts it close, but he comes through. You know, and that's our humanity coming through. We think he's cutting it close, but really he said he's going to provide, and he really does provide.
I always say it's not the 11th hour, it's 1 second to 12th
hour. Yes, exactly.
To the 12th hour.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm. So,
so thank you. So, yes,
yeah,
share
sure.
with us.
Well, and this goes, this is Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So I really feel that.
What does that say to you? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, basically what my journey's been like, you know, it's very easy. I can look back on times that I have tried to follow the world and just been very unsatisfied, you know, in the long run, and it just hasn't worked out for me. And it's hard. It's hard to be a follower. You know, you're ostracized. People think you're crazy. You know, your family is like, oh, boy. Carol always says to me, you're the thumb. It's easy to be a finger. There's four fingers on the hand. The thumb is not a finger. It's the thumb. So, you know, you have to really just believe that this is where the Lord wants you. And it's narrow. But
how is it narrow?
Because it's tough. It's hard sometimes.
Right. Hard work.
Know, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard work. You do have to spend time with him. Just listening. That's what the adoration chapels are about, the perpetual adoration chapels. We have one in my parish. I'm from Holy Redeemer in Freeport, and I understand you guys are...
Yeah, I wanted to mention that Monsignor Rick, who used to also be at Holy Redeemer.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, uh-huh.
I'm so excited. In September, there's going to be a perpetual adoration mm-hmm. starting. At our parish, we have adoration every Friday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then every first Friday, 24-hour adoration,
yeah,
but that's only once a month.
Right,
but now
right.
we're going to start having perpetual adoration.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to let all of our listeners know, let everybody know that it's there, it's available. If you would like to
Very life-giving.
Yeah, if you would like to sign up for a particular time, that's great too. We need adorers to come
mm-hmm.
Because the Blessed Sacrament cannot be left alone. There's usually two people every hour. But I'm just so excited because I know that there's going to be tremendous blessings from it, like without a doubt. Like I know, and I found out like around my birthday, and it's the best birthday present, like what you were mentioning, like, cause the Lord really is, our like deepest desire in life, and a lot of things distract us, but in the end, we're all seeking and yearning, for that love of God inside of us. And, I'm just, adoration, is for me, it's cool because it's just a place where you could just go and just kind of sit.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get caught up in the things that we have to say, or I want to like say certain prayers to God, or like do this or do that. But sometimes you could just go and just kind of, you're in the presence. Like you can't describe what it is exactly. But once you start going, I mean, for me, I went like once or twice, and then it was just kind of subconsciously, I just wanted to keep going every week.
Right.
So it's just like a pull that you don't really know about, like why exactly. But I recommend it. It's really great. And I think that ties in beautifully with our topic and how mm-hmm. healing and therapy goes hand in hand with adoration.
Yeah.
And do you mind sharing about that, Carol, your thoughts on that and how that works?
Well, a few ways it works, because the world really bogs us down, as Marge was saying, in many ways. There's lots of things to think about, lots of concerns, lots of anxieties. I think, isn't this true, Father Roselli, that fear is the most used word in the New Testament?
Yes.
I think 134 times the word fear is used. So obviously, the human condition has a lot of fear in it. And I just wanted to share a personal story with you a little bit. On Thursday, I had a day off, and my days off are I do some work and pretend I'm not at work, and then I go, and I wanted to go to Mass. So St. Patrick's in Smithtown has a 12, and I'm saying, well, I'm going to stay here because I just need to unload with the Lord, just to be in his presence, to be calm, right, to have calmness and peace. And I was so excited because I live in Smithtown now, and I'm relatively new to Smithtown, and I didn't realize St. Pat's put out the Blessed Sacrament after Mass. So I had the Blessed Sacrament. Now, I can't tell you how my thoughts were cleared enough that I could just go into that very sacred space, the sacred space of knowing the Lord's presence there, and how the Lord, as Katarina was saying, loves us. I think that's why we were created, because he loves us. I know we're asked to love him, but he does love us. That's why he created us. And so it was so magnificent to be in that calmness, in that peace. But on the other hand, I do know people who sit before the Blessed Sacrament, and because their minds, because they're anxious or worried or depressed or concerned or whatever, the relationship is poor, they're having a hard time with work, they're having a hard time with finances, they can't get into that peaceful place. Mm-hmm. It's not that easy. And that's why I believe therapy works very well, counseling. Barbara's a counselor, I'm a counselor, we have other people in Living Waters who are counselors, but that helps to clear away nature, because it's not that easy to just sit and be with the Lord. It's not that easy. Yeah. And I found it took a long time for me to be able to clear away enough that I could just not be thinking about a dozen different things while I'm sitting. And people will tell me, well, I don't get anything out of it. I don't get anything out of it. But that's because they're not giving it enough time, and they're not allowing themselves to be cleared. And that's where counseling takes hold. It helps people to clear away whatever is bothering them and come into that sacred space.
Can you give us a practical idea of how that works? You know, like actually how the therapy clears out things?
Can I mention? I just thought of something.
Sure.
I think it really helps the person to verbalize and say everything that they have that's troubling them. And sometimes we just need somebody to talk to that somebody who's listening, who cares to, you know, I guess unload verbally to somebody in front of you. And then that person, you know, the counselor helps, suggestions, you know, through the Lord's grace, because at Living Waters, the Lord is invited into every session. And then from there, you feel better. Like sometimes, you feel more okay. Like I have an idea of what I could do, like the next best step, and that helps a little bit to allow the Lord to come in. I feel that talking, that relationship with somebody is really important.
It. So mm-hmm. So like, how does that work exactly? You get to kind of get it out of you, out, all that stuff out, and then
Like sometimes you could write in a journal what's mm-hmm. troubling you, like in adoration. I know sometimes people, if you're having a hard time focusing because there's things going on, you write in your journal what it is. Mm-hmm. And then for me, this has happened sometimes where like the answer kind of comes, or like you get like an idea, like the Lord is talking to you mm-hmm. through that, like through your problems or through what it is, and then you feel unleashed like that. So that could work with, you know, notepad and stuff like that. But with that a person, it's like verbally, so I guess it's different. It's more physical, it's more it's just different. It's different.
And then there's also that place in adoration, which maybe Carol would speak to in a minute, where I think there's a famous saying, I just look at him and he just looks at me. We don't say too much. We're just kind of there. You want to say something about that?
Yeah, there is that he just loves us to death. And if we can just stay in that calmness, we can just take in his love very, very much. Two people started this radio show many years ago, Dr. Palmer and Dr. Chufo. And Dr. Palmer was unbelievable with the Blessed Sacrament. He spent hours and hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And he came up with letters. And I'd just like to read one of the letters about adoration, if it's okay.
Oh, wonderful.
All right?
Yes.
All right. So the Lord...
He came up with this, excuse me, at adoration itself?
Many times at adoration.
Okay.
He would come up. He'd be writing all the time.
Okay.
And this one is, isn't it amazing to see so many people before me in adoration of my true presence in the Eucharist? What joy that brings to my Sacred Heart. It is nice to be loved by souls that freely choose to set aside time, and that's it, time, because you do have to take time in order to do this, to be with me in prayer. I cannot resist giving each soul a whiff of our life eternal in love. Isn't that beautiful? A whiff of our life eternal in love. Powerful, huh? Our grace-filled love touches are akin to holding hands with a loved one, what Barbara's talking about. You know, speaking, not saying, but just looking and kind of admiring one another back and forth, right?
Right.
I mean, I was someplace last night and I saw two people who were young and in love, and it was so sweet to watch them because they didn't have to say anything. it just showed, exude. And so that's what the Lord wants from us, that we can feel so loved and we can love him so much. We want to reassure our lovers that we love them. Thus, we touch them in a special way known only to them and to us. He's talking about the Trinity, touching them. It is almost like a secret handshake in an exclusive club. Yet our club has open enrollment. Anyone can come. All are called to join. Those that do are more aware of the authenticity of our true presence in the Eucharist. I mean, that is unbelievable. There's no way for this to be denied. Thus rejoice that you've joined our Believers Club. He calls it the Believers Club. We welcome you with open hearts. We draw you well beyond the limits of time into our never-ending relationship in love. And that's what it is all about, the love. Love. And I think that's what counseling is about too, because I'm not saying it's a physical love, but it is a palpable love that we feel from the therapist to the counselee. That's, as Marge said, in nursing, she's giving her heart. Well, as a counselor, especially the kind, you know, I'm not doing that as a job, and I don't think you're doing it as a job neither. It's a ministry, and we are bringing the Lord to those people. And when you were talking, Katerina, I think sometimes a person needs counseling, because just as God showed himself in humanity by becoming Jesus, right, he had to be human to give us examples of how to live. So we need somebody to witness what's going on in our lives. We need to be able to talk it out with someone. And why it's good with a counselor is because they have nothing attached to any of that. They're not emotionally involved to a certain extent, but they yet have knowledge, and they're able to give that knowledge and pass that knowledge on to people to help them to heal that nature, because, right, Father, grace builds on nature.
It does.
I would like to ask Father something. We just recently returned from a youth conference in Medjugorje, and at first I was confused by it, but I started to realize that so many young people out there aren't really aware of what the Blessed Sacrament is and what adoration is. And could you give them, because we're hoping that they're listening today, or they will be on the internet soon, can you talk to them about what it really is that's happening there?
You know, the reading that Madge shared, it relates pretty much to what Jesus says in Luke's Gospel in chapter 16, when he says, you cannot have two masters at the same time. No one can serve two masters at the same time. I think one of the greatest obstacles we have in coming to the Lord in adoration and the Blessed Sacrament, much more with young people, is that a lot of people have not made a decision as to who their master really is.
Very good. Excellent.
Wow.
And true freedom is not the ability to act the way you like.
Yes.
True freedom is the ability to choose who your master is. And the choice of your master determines your priorities. Jesus doesn't say it is hard to serve two masters. He says it is not possible.
Correct.
At the beginning, it might appear that you can get by, but as time goes on, one is going to be placing so much demand on you that you cannot be split both ways. But we have a world today that challenges young people to split themselves in so many different ways that it becomes even impossible for them to be in touch with who they really are. And if you are not in touch with who you really are, it becomes even more difficult to appreciate who the Lord is. So even when the Lord is right in front of you, you still cannot appreciate who he is. But once you come to a place of deciding who your master is, then you can begin to really appreciate his presence in the Blessed Sacrament. And when you come into the Blessed Sacrament, you're coming right into his presence. And the psalmist says, in his presence there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forever. You know, I like to use the analogy of the sun, the summer sun. When you sit out in the sun, something happens to you. You get a tan.
You feel happy.
You feel happy. There are some persons who have to go through light therapy. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Beautiful.
You know, you don't tell the sun to give you a tan. It just happens. So you can imagine if you're sitting in the presence of the one who gave the sun the power and the ability to shine, and if the sun can do that to you, how much more will he do to you? You don't even have to say anything. Just sitting there in front of him is transforming you moment by moment. Now, when you start getting a tan, it doesn't just happen all at once. Initially, you might not even notice it. You might not observe it. But after a while, it becomes obvious. The same way when people come to adoration, you may not immediately see the results of what adoration is accomplishing in you. But as time goes on, people begin to notice there's something different. You begin to notice it also. And I think the same thing happens in counseling. The counselee might not even imagine how counseling is affecting him or her or transforming him or her. But gradually, the person is being led on, as it were, to deep into the depths of the waters. As Jesus says, cast your net into the deep. The person is being drawn deeper and deeper into who they really are, what the world around them really is, and the reality that they are loved and they are capable of loving. And that is the same kind of thing that happens in adoration. So I really see this connection between adoration and counseling, because it's, as you said, grace building on nature. And how magnificent it will be if more young people will take advantage of that.
I agree with that, Father. And I really, through Living Waters, very honestly, and the Holy Spirit, we have people coming in who were caught up in the world and had 4 abortions, and they came to Living Waters. Now, when you feel so terrible, because inside of them, they really get to understand that what they did at a certain point when they're in their 30s and what they did in their 20s wasn't what you necessarily, because the world tells you it's okay, but then their conscience bothers them and they come. So in those places, a counselor can become like the conduit to help a person get back to the Lord, because they were so bound in shame and guilt with all of this, they couldn't even get to a priest first. We're like a, I don't know, from a sports analogy, what would we be? Like the first step of something? And then we pass the ball on to the priest, who then passes the ball, is the representative.
We're the front line.
That's it.
I was thinking of a football analogy, but it wasn't coming to me.
another beautiful thing about that is, and this is so wonderful about the church, that when somebody gets to that point where they really open up in counseling and they come in touch with the reality of themselves and the world around them, they are not just left out there eventually in the loop. They have something to hold on to. And not just something to hold on to, but they have someone to hold on to them. They have Jesus. And that is why that next step after counseling is of utmost importance, that the person comes to the Lord. because if they are not holding on to something or somebody is not holding on to them, mm-hmm. then there's the danger of being sucked back into the world that is really crazy right now.
Correct.
I mean, you look at all the stuff that is happening around us and you can imagine what young people are going through. I mean, young people are going through things that I didn't have to go through, and I'm still young.
Yes, you are, Father.
But the stuff they're having to deal with today,
yes,
you know, and the fact that so many of us grew up in families where you have an elder brother or sister or cousin who is coming around that you can talk to and unload, but these days you have smaller families. A lot of people, young people, are internalizing so many things. They don't have any person to talk to. Mommy and daddy are out there, you know, on the job with all good intentions. But there's a lot being bottled up in these young people, and they need someone to talk to. And after talking to someone, they need someone like the Lord. Mm-hmm. In adoration, to comfort them and to console them and to hug them, like the prodigal son returning home and the father running up to him. And when he begins his confession, the father says, I know that. The fact that you came back speaks volumes already, so forget it. We're going to celebrate. The Lord is waiting to celebrate our return to him in adoration. He's waiting for us to come back and just be present to him. You know, you talked about the young people, that their love is so obvious. Mm-hmm. One of the things that really amazes me is when you see two elderly couples, probably in their 70s, they are walking down the street in the evening, hand in hand. They are not saying a word. They get to the coffee shop. They just sit there, each with their cup of coffee. But the fact that they are present to each other, that relationship keeps growing. And that is something a lot of people need to understand about adoration. It's not just about you coming to talk to the Lord. He already knows what you're going through. He just wants you to be present, mm-hmm. just to be there. And as we come, he continues to feel us. Eventually we become like the tree that is planted by the waterside. It's constantly being nourished. Constantly being fresh. I wonder if the tree realizes it is its leaves are always green. Does it? Do you think the tree knows that? You think the tree knows it's always bearing fruit?
A tree is a tree.
Yeah.
We may not even know the changes and the transformation that is going on in our lives. But those who look at us, who see us, and the Lord who sees us realizes the transformations that are going on in our lives. And that is a beautiful thing about adoration, because as St. Augustine says, you know, when we consume ordinary food, it becomes part of us. But the Eucharist, when we consume it, we become what we receive. Mm-hmm. So as we go in adoration, like Moses, every time he went into the tent of meeting, he came out and his appearance was totally changed, mm-hmm. to the point where it became so radiant, people were even scared of coming close to him, you know. And if the old covenant could accomplish that, imagine what the new covenant would do if we just avail ourselves of being in adoration.
Wow.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Well, this is great. I can't help but think of yesterday. I was thinking that adoration is almost like, it's almost like the summit of, if I could use the paradigm, it's almost the summit of counseling. Mm. Because in counseling, so often, if we are bringing the Lord to the person, right, the Lord's love, I find sometimes people don't want to leave. And I have a very hard time getting people to leave sometimes. And I think we all share that. We laugh about it. And it's not anything amazingly happening, but they're suddenly immersed in the Lord's love. And yesterday, my son, who's in his 40s, and myself had the great blessing of being with Father Tony. And we were in like a counseling kind of situation, prayer, healing, all that together. And the thing that David, my son, said when we left is he said, "Mom, I didn't want to leave because I felt the love of Jesus Christ so strong there, like I've never felt it." And, you know, and so now we take that and we bring it to the supernatural moment of the Eucharist.
Yes.
And we're before the Blessed Sacrament. It's the same kind of thing, right? Transposed to another level. Mm. That's what I was just thinking when we were hearing all this. It's just another celebration, or the higher celebration of what we're supposed to give each other.
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night at the healing service at St. Francis when Father was speaking. I just felt like the Holy Spirit working through him and like touching me, and the Word of God is powerful, like you were mentioning. So it really just was touching the soul, and like you said, that you want more of that because that's life. You know, the Word of God is life. The Eucharist is life, and He wants to heal us. And I think a lot of times we doubt, or we don't think that God could possibly want the best for us, but He does. And
He wants more for us than we even could ever imagine.
Imagine.
For us. Mm-hmm. That's what's so exciting.
When Madge spoke, she talked about, you know, wanting more. That because our young people today need to know there is more.
Mm-hmm.
There's always more.
Mm-hmm.
There's always more. And that is the beauty of creation itself, that God built more into creation. When He blessed creation, He said, "Be fruitful and multiply." In other words, keep increasing, keep growing, keep getting better. There is always more. I'm doing a book presently on biblical prosperity, and it led me to go to the background of the Hebrew words used for prosperity in the Bible. And interestingly, one of the Hebrew words used for prosperity is shalom.
Mm-hmm. Peace.
We literally translate it as peace.
Yes.
Commonly, we know it as peace,
mm-hmm.
but it is more than that. It really means the fullness of everything that is good. And Scripture says in Psalm 35 that God takes delight in the prosperity of His servants. In other words, God is delighted to see His children having the fullness of everything. Everything. And people need to understand that. You know, John Paul II always said, "Be not afraid to come to the Lord, because He doesn't take anything away from you. Instead, He gives you everything, everything." And I really over the years, knowing about Living Waters, have myself and Father Peter, we talk sometimes. I'm really amazed at what you do, because not everybody gets it that way. There are people who everything they do is driven by the pecuniary interest, by the monetary interest. But this is more of person-driven, the love of God being poured out in the hearts of people by the Holy Spirit, and leading these people to really understand that there is not just everlasting life, but eternal life, eternal life. Jesus says, Scripture says, "For God so loved the world, He's gave His only begotten Son, that all who believe in Him may have eternal life." Eternal life is not just everlasting life. Everlasting life can be an everlasting life of pain and sorrow. Everlasting life is the life that goes on and on and on. But eternal life is the life of God here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is living water.
Thank you, Father.
That is what Jesus, you know, invites us to when He says, "Come to Me, all you who are thirsty, and drink. Come, drink of this water." He said to that woman at the well of Samaria, "Anyone who drinks this water will thirst again, but anyone who drinks the water that I shall give will never thirst again. I love that woman, she said. Give me that water so I may never have to come back to this well again.
Yeah, I love, that's where Living Waters, of course, is named after Father. But mm-hmm. that's kind of funny because in my notes for the show, what I said, you have to think of the goal, and the goal in life is eternal salvation. That's mm-hmm. our goal.
Yeah.
But I think for young people, and I also know for people who aren't young, I mean, I had someone come to Living Waters who's closer to 80, actually, and has really not taken her faith and run with it all these years. But now that she's getting closer to eternal life, guess what's happening? Mm. She is so scared. So scared. You know, everything bothers her. And of course, you know, people in the world, especially young people today, I mean, they went through 9/11 here and they're seeing all these, you know, you could walk down the street and have a car or a bomb or something. So unless they have, and if their parents don't have it, then how do they get it? So it's so important to really understand that we have to really get back to basics, And as Marge found out, and I think each one of us found out along the road, because we're here, that God's the answer, that the answer is the is God. But I mean, it's a hard struggle to get to that place. Mm. It's very difficult to get to that place. I mean, my heart goes out to some people who do not have any faith, who were not raised with any faith, you know. And I say to them at times, well, I think you better get on your knees because this is not going to work this way.
I often think our mission, a lot of the core of our mission is to declare to people, guess what? There's good news here. There's something bigger. Mm. We have something bigger than your problem, you know? We have something to give you bigger than your problems.
That's right.
The Lord Jesus Christ. He's bigger than anything. And I think people, sometimes it's like an aha moment. Like, what? What are you saying? What do you mean? You know, that's so awesome.
It is.
I had someone talk to me about, they have Barbara as the counselor on Thursday, and they talked to me at Living Waters and said the difference between this therapy, counseling, and secular counseling is you give us hope.
Yes.
Because that's the Lord that gives us hope. Barbara transferred the Lord's hope to these people. Mm. And so it's not all about, like, solving the problem. Like, how am I going to get more money? Mm-hmm. Or how am I going to get this boyfriend to really love me? It's not all about that. It's giving them hope as to where their basis needs to be and then moving. And only God can give us hope.
That's right.
Only God and the Holy Spirit, Jesus. And
sometimes people see religion even that way, that it's for problem solving. But you solve one problem today, you're going to have another one tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Never stops, does it, Father?
You just need to have the Lord on your side. You know, I prayed with a young man one time, and I met him again sometime last year, and he was reminding me of that prayer that I prayed over him over a decade ago. He said he came to see me, and I took his hands and I prayed with him, and I said, Lord, I know there is no easy life anywhere, so I don't pray for an easy life for him, but I pray for grace to overcome every challenge he's going to face.
That is really beautiful.
And he said, when I said that prayer, initially he got scared. He said, but over the years, he kept telling his wife, this was the blessing that I got. Because every challenge that comes, you know, as Barbara said, 1 second or 20 seconds to the 12th hour, the Lord always comes through for him. There's always grace to overcome whatever challenge he's facing.
Even if it doesn't look like there is.
And because the Lord works everything for good for those who love him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say all things are good.
No.
But he says he works everything for good. That is very reassuring.
And what I love too is, that we don't know the full picture, so what we think is terrible and awful in that moment, we don't have the whole plan.
Exactly.
I was on the car, right here. What I was thinking about was the Lord is my GPS. He guides me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people have to go and they have to, you know, look at the GPS and see where it's going to take them next and this and that. Not I. I really like to just go where it's taking me and just go with it, you know. And that's how I see the Lord, that he'll take us where we need to go. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's easy.
No, it cannot be easy.
No.
Mm-hmm. When I was in the seminary, I used to make the prayer. When I go before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration, I would just say to him, Lord, no matter how difficult it is, just don't let it be impossible.
Yeah, that's very good, yeah.
You know, just don't let it be impossible, because there is no easy life anywhere.
No.
None, ever. Even if you have all the money in the world, it even makes life more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
The choices you have to make sometimes is better for you to just have a bottle of water that you can have than sit there and have 100 choices of water in front of you, wondering which one you're going to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Or wine, if you're really rich.
The first step, like your vision,
that you need
to
hug
us.
Mm-hmm. The vision of... Yes, go ahead, March.
Yeah, the vision.
Say that again, March, so they can hear you.
The Lord is a loving God, and he loves us so much, and he's given us that free will, that he is waiting for us to make that first step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your vision, Katarina, of him wanting to hug us, but we need to come to him for that hug. I always love that picture of I stand at the door and knock.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is there, but there's no handle on his side of the door. And when somebody first told me, I said, I don't believe that. I said, once again, you know, my doubting, until I saw that picture. And there is no handle on the Lord's side of the door, because he loves us so much that he's waiting for us to choose him, because he does want to love us so much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard, because we have the world out there saying, you don't need that, you can do this, you don't need him, blah, 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 blah. And that's what's so hard. What breaks my heart when I see young people today, because they don't know. Even what stops people from going to places like Living Waters, where you will never go thirsty again. You know?
Yeah.
It's the stigma that you don't need that. You don't need somebody to tell you. But it's so life-giving if you can just turn that around.
Can we talk about Never Go Thirsty a little bit, and what that is, Carol?
Okay, I'd love to talk about that, of course. But I also wanted, we were talking before this, and we also talked about remember the rosary. Remember to pray the rosary, because that will get you. What better place to be than
Mary
leading you to Jesus. Remember that. But Never Go Thirsty is the not-for-profit arm of Living Waters Counseling Center. We do not turn people away from Living Waters. So although everybody supposedly has insurance, they don't. And a lot of times the insurances really have such high deductibles that people can't afford something like counseling. And even with the different places that have counseling that's funded by the state, there's an awful long waiting time, and it's not necessarily that reasonable, neither. I don't know how else to say it. So what had to happen was we had to start something where people who are traumatized, abused, children whose parents are in all different directions, loving, but all different directions and don't have insurance themselves, you know, we started something called Never Go Thirsty. Never Go Thirsty is a not-for-profit. So any donations made to Never Go Thirsty will be used to help people for counseling. And at the same time, our counselors take a very reduced fee. Now, don't forget, we're not only college grads, but we also have a master's degree. And the amount of money we earn is unbelievably low. Unbelievably low. And so with Never Go Thirsty, the counselors that I have, you know, at times, if they get $30 without taxes, they're lucky. Sometimes even less. So you won't find that. You won't find that. I'm sorry, you won't. And so something had to be done with that. Never Go Thirsty was started. We're going to have a golf outing, which is going to be October 25th in Rocky Point. So if you possibly could, keep that in mind. I'd like to give you the website for Living Waters. It's livingwaterscounseling.biz. B as in boy, I as in iron, Z as in zebra. I'd like to give you the phone number of Living Waters, 631-754-3990. 631-754-3990. And I'd like to encourage you to come, to come. I'd like to encourage you, if you really have a heart that you're being called to donate to us, we'd love to accept your donations because we really need it. People need help. They really need help. I mean, people are starving. They really are thirsty. And so Living Waters Never Go Thirsty is part of the ministry of Living Waters Counseling.
And can I just ask you, is it accurate to say that nobody would ever be turned away?
We don't turn people away, right? We don't turn people away.
And I have the advantage of operating in the secular world as a counselor in my own practice and also working for Living Waters. And I can tell you that out there in the secular world of counseling, although for me it's never secular, it's always with the Lord, but out there, everything Carol is saying is so true. So many people just, they can't even afford the copays. I mean, it's just, so many people are denied insurance, denied counseling, especially now. And it's, there's a real need. I'm addressing this because so many people will say often, oh, come on, everyone has insurance. And it's just,
they don't.
not really
No,
true.
It isn't true. And the reality is, Rose, who's the office manager, will tell people, please never, ever let money keep you away. If you're having a problem, please let us know, and we'll work with you. And that's what it's all about.
So can we say that out there to our audience today?
Yes, absolutely. We'll work with you.
We'll make it work.
Yes,
you know?
The Lord will make it work.
That's what the Lord says to us all the time. Yeah, we'll make it work.
Make it work. Amen. So we're just going to wrap up the show here. And I guess, would I be able to
please
read this little prayer really quickly? It's Living Waters, NGT, Never Go Thirsty. Lord, you know me. You know me inside and out. You have counted every hair on my head. You know when I sit and when I stand. You read my heart and know my needs. You know that I thirst. You know that I thirst for living water, the water from which I will never go thirsty. It is you, the God of my understanding, who is that water, a water which gushes forth from the source of all love, all peace, all mercy. As I drink in your love, peace, and mercy, may I shine forth your light to a world in need of that light. May I shine forth you as I trust in you, and may I never go thirsty. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, guest speakers today. Thank you, listeners. God bless you. And
may the Lord just plant all these seeds that he's planted. They will. They never come back void, right?
Right,
Father?
Yes.
It'll never come back void.
Yeah.
Amen.
Take that step.
Times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me.